Well, I thought Kyle was excited about the game before. It's the Drive Guys here at the Golden One Center. He is excited about the Kings and Pacers, but now he just got word from Jay that the play-by-play guy for his beloved Packers, Wayne Larrabee, is going to join us at 4:30. Now you're really excited.
You can talk all the trash Larrabee. Now. Don't let my Green Bay Packers come in there.
Dude, Jay, you're terrible, man.
Why should you? You're a Packer
things,
fan.
Exactly. I got some things I want to say, but I'm going to let my Packers do the talking this weekend.
Yeah. Go, Pack, go. If you've ever been to Lambeau, that's the chant there. Go, Pack, go.
When are you going to get your cheese head? Is it on order? Is it, you know, you're waiting for it to arrive maybe?
I'm going to wait till they win.
You know, I don't want to invest in it. They get spanked. And then what I'm going to do with it, right? Now, if they win, I might come in Monday wearing that thing.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
That would be, oh, my gosh. That would be crazy. Oh.
Yeah. RJ was saying, oh, I missed the show Monday. I wanted to hear what – or Tuesday, right? He said, I wanted to hear what Kyle had to say about, you know, the Eagles losing. And then I said, well, he's all in on the Packers now. And RJ just shook his head and said, he can't help himself, can he?
I can't, man. I just keep digging myself a bigger, deeper hole. But, you know, it's all fun. It's sports,
well,
man.
What happened to Fly Eagles Fly? Now it's Go Pack Go?
It's Go Pack Go. I told you, I have two teams, RJ.
Yeah.
Two teams.
Oh.
The Eagles and whoever is facing the Niners.
I didn't see the bandwagons intersect. I missed it there.
And if the Niners win, I'll be in a Barry Sanders jersey next week as they get ready for the Lions, you know? So that's just how
got
I
got a Herman Moore on deck.
I know, exactly.
You know, I was thinking today how funny it would be. This is unlikely, but I was thinking how funny it would be to see your reaction if the 49ers ended up playing Tampa Bay and then they go to the Super Bowl and they play Houston.
Houston, oh, my God.
If they play Tampa, who you got, man? Who you wearing?
That's a
going Warren Dunn, D. Brooks, Warren Sapp. Who you going?
I might go Vinny Testaverde
or Vinny T.
Like that. You know, Vinny Testaverde jersey on these.
Now, this is the big one, Whitey. Yeah. If they play the Texans, who don't have a deep history, who you going?
Yeah, that's a good question.
You going D'Amico, Andre Johnson,
JJ?
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Andre Johnson, too. That could be one, yeah. Matt Shaw, but I might come out with a Matt Shaw jersey on y'all. Come on, man. They better, the Niners better win, Jay. I'm just saying, they better win because y'all didn't. For the last 6 or 7 weeks, I've been taking a beating at the hands of Niners fans.
Yeah, but you were kind of, you had a hand in that yourself,
right? And I'm okay.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying. Don't let the rabbit get the gun. Don't let the tables turn because I'm coming at all y'all. I'm taking names. I got a list. Everybody out there, man.
Speaking of lists. Anyway, Wayne Larrabee today.
Yes, I can't wait.
Frankie's going to be with us this hour. By the way, we got a new thing with Frankie when he comes on. When he's done, we give him a basketball card of a player that reflects how good a job we think he did. So last week he got a Sabonis. You were out of town. So
okay.
See how he does today.
Nothing wrong.
Yeah, I hope you'll help me decide, you know.
So that was a
tough
good
but fair.
Last week,
was good.
Bonus, that was good.
That was good.
All right,
we'll see how he does this time.
Something. Yep.
Yeah. Here's a list here. This is from Bleacher Report, and it's midseason or midterm grades for NBA teams. Let's see. OKC got an A+. Boston, the Clippers, Minnesota get A's. Atlanta, a D. Washington, D-. Golden State, a D+. And Detroit gets an F. For the Kings, B-.
Midseason grade.
Midseason grade for the Sacramento Kings. B-. What do you think of that?
I might even give him a C+.
Wow.
I might even give him a C+, because here's why.
You're going to be tough on Frankie today.
I'm grading on the curve.
Uh-huh.
I'm grading on what my expectations for this team is. I expected them to be better. Not necessarily record-wise. I'm talking about the way they play. I expected it to continue off of last season. You build upon that. And right now, they've been trudging through the mud. It's like two steps forward, one step back. Like, you can't get any momentum going if you're set. So I would give them a C+, because I think they could be so much better than what we've seen this season.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I actually don't know who wrote this, but they pointed this out. Maybe time for a little perspective. This team is 16 straight postseasons. Getting there 2 years in a row, totaling 50 wins in the second year, even if it's with a shaky point differential, would be a huge win, end quote. I think we're beyond that now. I mean, I understand where he's coming
yeah.
from. There's some truth to that. But fans expect progress this year, fairly or unfairly. I know we've talked about this a lot. Fans want this team. They thought it'd be better by now. Fans are going to demand a deal because that's really the only way we can see the team getting better. And fans are demanding that this team be better than it's been so far this year.
And this team has shown, because here's the thing, Whitey, that they can be
yeah,
better.
Yeah, you're right.
Because you look at their losses
right.
this season, they should have four or five more wins. And so
right.
this team should be better. You can't lose to Portland without two of their starters. You can't lose to Charlotte here at home.
Right.
All they got is Terry Rozier and Miles Bridges. Like, there are some bad losses. You can't lose four times to the New Orleans Pelicans. You can't lose twice to the Houston Rockets. Like, there are some bad losses here. I got the schedule right here. Let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you lose at Philly. They're shorthanded. Okay, that happens.
Yeah.
You know, that happens. But you lose at home to Charlotte. I mentioned that one. You lose at Portland. That's a bad loss. You lose four times to the Pelicans, and not just losing, you get spanked
by the Pelicans. It gets worse every time you play them, yeah.
Exactly. You lose to Golden State twice. Golden State's not good, and I understand it was early in the season, that thing, but
yeah.
this team
got them next week, right?
Yeah, got them at 23-17. This should be a 27-13 team right now.
That's a great point. It's not that fans are unrealistic. They're not with their, ostriches with their heads in the sand.
Right.
Going, this team should be a really good team. It's like we've seen it. We all know it. And I have to think that the front office sees it too and ownership sees it too. And that's why I have to believe they're doing everything within their power to make a trade because it's a truth that is undeniable
yeah.
right now.
Have they underachieved? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Exactly, and so that's why I can't give them anything better than a C plus. Like a B plus means they're all right. They're doing things right, but they're underachieving right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, and I think they would think that too. And there's a lot of time left to be played. It's a long season. You're going to have peaks and valleys. But
yeah, we know all about that.
Let me ask you this though, because one of the things last year when we talked about the loss to Charlotte, the loss to Washington, we said, well, they had some wins probably that they shouldn't have had. Have they had any of those this season? Are there any wins where you like, man, they probably should not have won that game?
No.
Not
and that's
really,
what
right?
makes the last two games, not that those were games you shouldn't have won, but if you win at Milwaukee and at Phoenix, that helps to cover up the stink from
right,
some of those
right.
that, other losses.
We don't have the wins that helps. OKC
yeah.
maybe, Denver way back yonder,
yeah,
way
yeah.
back when.
Minnesota.
Minnesota at Minnesota. But that's – way back in the past. Like, we need some statement feel-good wins right now.
Mm-hmm. You need one tonight.
Yes.
And I agree with you. Statement. You said statement. But, you know, I say that, but I've gotten tired of watching the Kings and talking about the Kings after a tough loss and saying, well, we'll see what they have tonight because I don't know. They just, every time I think I know what to expect from them, they mystify me.
Right, right. You would think being back home, understanding how deflating those last two losses were, you got your crowd, that we would see an inspired Sacramento Kings team. But to your point, I'm not sure. I don't
right.
know which team. Is this going to be a blowout? Is it going to be a close game? I have no idea what to expect tonight.
Mm-hmm. I think the Kings are still searching for an identity. And I think some of that is, you know, some of that is kind of, there's really nothing to it. You can talk about identity and culture sometimes too much. But it is important for this team to have a sense of what they're about and how they're supposed to win. And last year they had a clear idea,
right.
and I don't think they know this year.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. You know, when you look at last year, they won with offense, right?
Like exactly,
they won with offense. Mm-hmm.
Watch out, because we're coming for you. Yeah.
What do they win with this year?
Fox sometimes, Doma sometimes,
right.
three
it's
sometimes.
It's too choppy, right?
Yeah.
It's all
yeah.
over the place.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
there's no continuity, no flow, no. It's just one game they look this way, the next game they look that way, then the following, you know. And I think that's frustrating for Mike Brown and the coaching staff because imagine not knowing which team you're going to get when you walk into the building.
Right, right.
You know, when you look at the best teams in the NBA. Like, we know this Pacers team, for instance. We know who they are. They're an offensive team. Defense is optional. They're going to try to outscore you. That's their identity. But at least they know that who they are going in.
Mm-hmm.
What can the Kings hang their hat on? Who are they?
Have to wait till the game starts to
right.
let you know.
And, okay, all right. It's a night where they're hitting threes. So
yeah,
this is,
yeah.
You know, and I think that's what it was last year. High octane offense, fast pace. For instance, White, we hear so much, and this stat kills me, boggles my mind. We hear so much from Mike, the players, the coaches, everybody. Hey, we want to play fast. We want to play fast. The Sacramento Kings, when it comes to fast break, 25th in
yeah,
the NBA.
Yeah, they
like,
don't do it.
I just don't get, like, you would think with De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, these guys, you would be out and running and be a top 10 fast break team. We're 25th in fast mm-hmm, break mm-hmm. points.
Yeah, Phoenix is way down in pace. And Phoenix, they ran the, at times, second right. half, they ran the Kings out of the gym.
Right, yeah. right. That's the thing. Like, Phoenix, especially in that fourth quarter,
yeah.
was pushing
and they don't
the
run.
Pace. And that's not their thing.
Right, kind of so, mystifying.
That's so perplexing to me is how come, because that's what you hear Mike talk about, playing fast. And I know he's talking mostly by the half court, but we even talked to him about it the other day after the Suns game. He said what we're having is guys that will get the rebound and two or three, four guys come back to the ball, mm-hmm, look for the ball, mm-hmm, instead mm-hmm. of getting out and go. It's been that way all season long.
Oh, and that's you talk about basic basketball, getting out, running, getting the easy buckets when they're available.
Right.
They're not always going to be there.
Make
but
life
if you
easy
run,
for
sometimes,
you.
Hey, yeah, lay it up and in. When we come right back, the season's half over tonight, so has your idea of what constitutes a successful season, has it changed at all? Is it in the process of changing? It's next year when we come right back to the Golden One Center with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. We're getting a little preview here on the Golden One Big Board of the tribute that we'll enjoy tonight to Rock, Mitch Richmond, who's going to be in the building. Yeah, we got the Kings and the Pacers tonight from the Golden One Center. No Pascal Siakam, of course. Pardon my ignorance here, Kyle. I don't know. Is that trade even official yet?
No, it's not official
okay.
yet. Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, we have Mark Boyle, Pacers outstanding legendary play-by-play guy. He's going to join us at 5. And just so you know, we can't even ask him about any of that because he can't comment on it. So,
right.
People are going, why didn't they ask about the trade? Until it happens, he is strictly prohibited from talking about that. But no Siakam, no Haliburton tonight. But it's going to be a special night anyway with the Kings back home. And with a tribute to The Rock, Mitch Richmond. Now, that was a good trade. You talk about trades?
Yes.
That was a great trade.
Yeah, look at that. And they're showing the jersey retirement ceremony for Mitch Richmond, number 2, going into the rafters. And it's going to be a great night to have him back in the building, an exciting game tonight. And hopefully the Kings play inspired ball for mm-hmm. Mitch Richmond tonight.
Yep. Yep,
the greatest king ever, by the way. Let me put that in there.
Ooh, greatest king ever.
The greatest Sacramento king ever.
Whitey giving him that side eye. He giving you a little side eye, Jay.
I'm ready to defend Drapes.
See, I think I'd have to go Webb.
C-Webb?
The Rock.
Respectfully, yeah. You're not going the Rock over C-Webb, huh?
It's close. I love both of them, but I'm going with The Rock, man. Anytime Jordan says you're the toughest cat to deal with, it's The Rock, baby.
Yeah, yeah. Also, The Rock, if he hadn't gotten hurt in 96, if he hadn't turned his ankle, the Kings might have pulled off one of the great playoff upsets.
Yes.
But they didn't.
They did.
They didn't.
They
but
did.
They had it right there. They had those Seattle Sonics right there in their
yeah.
seats.
Yeah. And that was a great Sonics team, too. That would have been a massive upset. I think, Seattle won 57, I think, that year. I can't remember. But that was a great Sonics team, mm-hmm. yeah.
Friend of the show, by the way, too.
What's that?
Said friend of the show, by the way. We just had him on a couple weeks
ago. Mitch Richmond, yeah.
All right. We're working on it. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I just hit him up again. He's probably over in the Sawyer right now getting his midday nap or something.
Nah, he's upstairs, man.
You know what I mean?
I'll shoot him a text behind you, too.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Your view of what would constitute, pardon me, a successful season, has it changed at all?
No,
and
not at all.
It is win a playoff series?
Yes. You got to get to the second round. You know, whether if you're the 6 seed and you face the 3 seed, I don't care. Even if you're the underdog, you got to get to the second round. because I think you're talented enough. Sure, the Clippers may have a better record. Sure, OKC may have a better record. Sure, you may have to face Minnesota or whoever it may be. But you can't tell me that if it's a 4-5 matchup and you're the 5 seed, like, you got to get to the second round.
Mm-hmm. To me, if you get to the playoffs, it's a successful season, even if you don't win.
Really? Why?
Yeah, and it'd be great if they win.
So if you're the number 10 seed and get your way in through the play-in and you're the 8 and get bounced in 5 by Minnesota, you're okay with that?
I think it would be a successful season, big picture.
Man, come on, man. Yeah. What are we doing?
You know why?
We're setting the bar too low for these guys.
You know why, though? It's because, you know, after watching this team for years and years and years and years and years, making the playoffs is still something. You know, I know last year they broke the drought, but still, it's still an accomplishment. And the other thing is, talking about the Weber team, in 99, the Kings broke through. They got to the playoffs. The next year, it's supposed to be, oh, this team's great. They won 44, and they got bounced in the first round again. But you know what? It ended up being okay because they ended up becoming pretty good after that. So, you know, it doesn't always happen the way we want, as quickly as we want, in linear fashion. But to me, if you make the playoffs again this year, I think that's something you can feel good about.
If you make the playoffs,
yeah,
you're the Atlanta Hawks. Is that what we're striving to be?
Actually,
is that what we want to be?
For the Kings to make the playoffs 2 years in a row, when's the last time that happened? That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. I got
04, 05, 05, 06, whatever it is.
You're talking franchise-wise. I'm looking at the talent on the roster. I'm looking at two All-NBA guys that we can't get out of the first round. Two of the 15 best players in the NBA, and we can't get out of the first round.
Also depends, like we said yesterday, how it happens, right? You know? But I think, yeah, that's an accomplishment. But a lot of it depends, too, on what they actually do with the deadline. If they do, we talked about this yesterday, yeah, of course. If they don't make a deal, then I think just making the playoffs would be a huge accomplishment, frankly. If they don't add somebody,
but
I think that would be a monumental accomplishment.
Just making the playoffs?
Making the playoffs. I'm not saying they could win a series.
We're
talking about the fact that the Kings have made the playoffs once in the last 17 years.
No,
that's what we're talking about.
No, maybe that's what you're talking about. I'm talking about this version of the Kings has made the playoffs one out of 1 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
And that's great.
And that's nice. That's fine and dandy. I'm not looking at the last 16, 17 years, baby steps. I'm looking at the. Let me ask you this. Let's say Monty McNair, and I'm going back now.
Okay.
Let's say we entered this season and we had Fox at the one. We had. And I'm just throwing names out here. Just bear with me.
All right.
Bear with me.
Mm-hmm.
Play along. Steph at the 2, Durant at the 3, LeBron at the 4, and AD at the 5. Well, this team just made the playoffs. That's okay. It's baby steps. No, you look at the roster. When you have two All-NBA guys, when you have multiple All-Stars, when you have a number 4 overall pick, when you have a Sixth Man of the Year, the head coach of the year, you got it. Just making the playoffs, that's like, that should be a no-brainer. That's not an accomplishment in my eyes.
I think
they should wake up and do that each morning.
Except
playoffs.
You have to consider how tough the West is right now. You consider not only the team's history, as I said, and you don't want to go there, okay, but it's a fact. They had a long drought, and making the playoffs is still, it's something significant, especially given how tough the West is, especially given how in the offseason you didn't do a lot, right? And other teams in the West, they were making moves, and if you get in the playoffs again, and hopefully they win, hopefully they go to the finals. Again, I'm not saying they can't win in the first round, but if they do, rubber stamp, where's the rubber stamp? Successful season right
Thanks,
there.
Thanks, Selena. Selena just brought some lunch. I'm going to need it, all this arguing I'm doing here on the show. But let me ask you this, though.
Hopefully they will win in the first round, and it won't matter.
And I hear you, yeah. And I understand what you're saying. But should Mike Brown and the players feel that? Should the fan base feel? All right.
No.
You know, if we make the playoffs, I'll be good. No, you got to shoot. I'm trying to win. You shoot for the, what is it, moon? Aim for the moon and land in the stars or whatever the saying is. Like, I'm shooting for a championship. I'm not thinking about first round.
Shoot for the moon, aim for the stars. Isn't that it?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I'm not good at those kind of things.
Yeah.
But that's my thought.
No, the players shouldn't be thinking that, but fans have to be realistic.
And maybe I'm too new to the area. And I want to hear from Sacramento Kings fans. We got Frankie Cardicelli. He'll maybe weigh in on this as well. What constitutes a good season for you? Would you just be happy with a playoff berth and a first-round exit?
Yeah,
I would be highly disappointed.
The reason why there, and a lot of people would be, we talk a lot about expectations, you know, and given that, we thought after last year the team would be better, but some of the expectations were just that the team right now would be further along, you know? That's part of it, too. It's like, whoa, hey, I thought they'd be better, but also I didn't think we'd be going through some of these issues that the team seems to be having right now. In some ways, it's almost like, and I know they're slightly ahead of last year with the record, it's almost like they're backsliding a little bit.
But that's the thing, Whitey, and if I went back to last year, January 18th, and the Kings were 22-18, which they were, how do you think people felt? They're 23-17.
Last year was better
than they were last year, only by game. I know. And so why are we, you know, now we're lowering the standards. If this team just makes the playoffs, that would be an accomplishment. What are we? They're
because
ahead
of what
last year.
Kings fans have been through. I'm telling you,
Kings fans, help me out here. Come save me from this. Is that all we're shooting for? Man, if we could just make the playoffs, that would be great.
We're shooting for more, but if that's all you get, hey, you know what? As long as we're getting better, it's great. As long as they're relevant, it's been a good year. We'll see what Frankie thinks.
Yeah,
you know, Frankie, I think both sides have good points.
I know. I'm not going to let Frankie sit on the fence today. He got to come with a take on it.
All right, our Kings insider, Frankie Cardicelli. We'll see what he thinks about the idea that maybe the trade chatter is affecting the team. Frankie joins us next. Drive Guys at the Golden One here.
Let me just tell you something. It's a good thing for the Kings that Kyle Draper is not their general manager. I say that because I just witnessed him pull off one of the worst trades I've ever seen in my life. As he traded with RJ. RJ saw you coming. You traded a chocolate chip cookie for an oatmeal raisin cookie. And you did so willingly. Did you get any draft picks or anything?
No picks. I didn't need that. Like, oatmeal raisin is the number one overall pick. Chocolate chip is a player to be named later,
wow.
You know, in this kind of deal. Like, you know,
wow.
Chocolate chip is so basic. Like, he's a rotation player. Oatmeal raisin is a guy you build your franchise around, you know?
Huh. Okay.
G-leaguer, that chocolate chip.
No, we'll see who gets to the championship. Chocolate chip or oatmeal. Right?
Yeah. I mean, it has, chocolate
overtime chip. Elite player.
Shout out to Selena for bringing the grub. And how about RJ? Starting off healthy there. You actually eat the salad, huh? I might have to start doing that. All right. Too much lettuce for me, man. Too much lettuce in the salad.
Went to the doctor yesterday, so this will last about a day.
Right.
Don't worry about it.
Time now for our weekly visit with our SacktownSports.com Kings insider, the one and only Frankie Cardicelli. Frankie, I feel like I should remind you before we get any further that you will be evaluated at the conclusion of the segment. You remember all that, right?
Well, is Drave going to get evaluated for the trade? Because Drave, the chocolate chip at Golden One, they're legendary, man. They're legendary.
Frankie is a sheep out there. He's just following everybody else. My middle school motto, ladies and gentlemen, the great Masterman School in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, dare to be different.
Uh-huh.
That's how I am. Dare to walk in my own path. Oatmeal raisin it is.
Clearly, Frankie saw the scouting report. That's all I got to say.
Oh, goodness. Well, Drake, you're not alone. There's a couple guys that down at the media dining table. I won't name names, but just keep your eyes peeled tonight to see what cookies some guys are picking. Because you're not in the minority. People do like the oatmeal raisins as well, but I can't go away from those chocolate chips, man.
Yeah.
Those are my pride and joy on game night.
Yeah, you're right, Frankie. Frankie, where are you as far as what would constitute a successful season? I know we talk about that from time to time, but it is the halfway point of the season. Drapes says, you know, you gotta win in the first round. I say if you make the playoffs, it's still a successful season. I'm being called low bar Whitey on the chat. Where does Frankie weigh in on this one?
I've gone back and forth, and I've had these conversations with a couple friends and also with Alan and Chris on the other show. And I think right now I'm fully in the camp of, to me personally, a successful season would be winning the first round. Only because, again, like, you want to see this group progress forward. And it's been 20 years now since they've won a playoff series. And, you know, the playoff drought ending was great, and it was an amazing year, a magical year last year. It's a year that we'll remember for a long time here in Sacramento. But it's this year now. We're looking at the future, and I think a first-round win would do a lot for this organization as far as just how it would look to other incoming free agents. And again, like we saw with the Siakam trade, who knows why he didn't want to fully come to Sacramento. There's probably a couple reasons why. Maybe he didn't want to be a third option. Maybe he didn't want to be a guy that, versus his situation in Indiana, he gets to be a true number two option, or maybe number one if Tyrese has set up the offense. But you want to have the Kings be in a spot where they look appealing to other teams. I think if you win a first-round series in a year where the West is really tough, because again, the standings right now, really tough. And like you guys were talking about a little bit ago, how the Kings are, they're ahead of where they were last year at this point, which kind of feels weird when you think about all the bad losses they've had this year. They've really been very close to being significantly better than last year from a record standpoint. If they would have won the last two games they held a good, a 4-point lead at the free throw line with 18 seconds left in Milwaukee, and then up by 22 with 8 minutes left in Phoenix. If these guys lock down those two games, they're significantly better than last year. So to me, today, I'm still in the camp of, I think the Kings, they need to win a playoff series for me to say it was a successful season. But again, just making the playoffs to begin with would be, I think, a win for this group as they continue to build.
Our guy Frankie Cardicelli joining us. Frankie, before I get to my question, I just want to point something out. You're on with the Drive guys, Drapes and Whitey. Whitey and Drapes. It's not the Frankie Cardicelli show. Whitey asked you one question and you went on for 6 minutes, big dog. He said, save some time for the host, okay? That's all I'm saying. Just save some time for the host to actually ask questions.
I'm fired up, too, like you are today. I'm fired up.
Man. Love you, Frankie. I love you.
You going to mark him down for that?
Yeah. We're grading his appearance today. Exactly.
All right.
Frankie, when you look at the last couple of games, obviously heartbreaking losses. We've seen them blown out before. We've seen them lose to the Pelicans. But we haven't really seen them crap the bed late in games like they did the last two. How concerning is that?
I mean, it's something that we saw a little bit last year, too, and obviously this group is still getting acclimated as far as late-game situations and that poise you see from winning teams. And look at the teams who they fell apart against. They fell apart against Milwaukee, a team that's obviously won a championship recently and that's in the playoffs, usually making deep runs each year, aside from last year, obviously, with the collapse against Miami. But even with Phoenix, a lot of veteran guys, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, to name a few. You want to see them be more poised down the stretch, and I think they had 6 overs in the fourth quarter. In Phoenix, you hate to see that. The defense is still a concern. The rotations were really, really poor. Even when they switched to zone, I think, late in the game, obviously, Phoenix went small, and that obviously got the Kings a little discombobulated. But I think it's something in the Kings, obviously, it's not consistent. Again, against Orlando, that was one game where it was kind of the magic of the kitchen sink at them, and there was just close situation after close situation, and the Kings came out on top. But against some of these teams that, again, Phoenix was supposed to be one of the top teams in the West, and they're looking like they're putting it together now. And then you obviously have Milwaukee against those teams that are supposed to be in the mix for a championship this year. You want to see the Kings be more put together because that's their goal, too. They want to be looked at as one of those teams. They want to be seen as a team that is up for the championship this year. Mike Brown has said it multiple times, and so has players like Domantas Sabonis and down the line. You can't lose games like that. And back-to-back losses like that, we haven't seen it very often, but it'd be a lot more encouraging to see them put together some clean finishes here down the stretch.
Frankie Cardicelli with us on the Folsom Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Can we expect to see more of Sasha tonight, Frankie, based on the way he played against Phoenix?
I mean, I think you should. I mean, I think that the results have been there. I mean, I think with Sasha, it's not usually a matter of what he can do on the offensive end. I think he's brought a lot on the offensive end. He knocks down most of his open looks. He cuts very well off the ball. I think that's really a skill set of his that isn't talked about as much as it should be, that he's a real great off-ball cutter. But I think it comes down to the defensive end. And if Mike Brown looks at tonight's matchup against Indiana, and again, who knows how many players Indiana is going to roll out tonight, but if the matchups aren't there as far as, is Sasha going to be completely outmatched as far as, if they had a fully healthy roster, if Pascal Siakam is playing, You have guys like Jairus Walker off the bench. Do they match up well with Sasha Vezenkov? It's hard to say. But tonight, I think he's done enough in his recent stretch to prove he deserves a longer shot, a longer look. Again, I think it just comes down to the defensive end. And Sasha said himself, like, let's be real, he's never going to be seen as a stopper at this level. But if he can at least put together manageable minutes that can get this group through these situations where guys in the starting lineup are trying to get some minutes off the floor, he's going to keep playing. But the offense to me has never been an issue. Again, he looked great the other night, career high 14 points. And hopefully we see a little more of him tonight because, again, it could be a game that the Kings, quote-unquote, should come out and play well and win, especially if Indiana's missing a bunch of guys. Maybe we see a lot of Sasha, but that's probably a best-case scenario because we know how to play against these shorthanded teams.
Frankie Cardicelli, our Sactown Sports 1140 insider. Frankie, you know, we had Jason Anderson on at the SACB yesterday, and we talked about the guard rotation. Over the last two games, Mike Brown has only used three guards, Malik Monk, Fox, and Herter. What does that signal to you? What can we read into that? Is it a lack of trust among the other guards? Is it him just shortening this rotation? Do they need to add some guard depth? What do you think about that?
I think it's just a matter of who is the best player in that second group to run the offense and initiate that offense. I think it's Malik Monk, who has been a 5-assist-per-game guy, a guy who is flirting with, you know, double-doubles a lot more often than he was last year. He comes off the bench, and his assist numbers have just been incredible. I think it's a little bit of that, too, Jason. I think it's a little bit of maybe the Kings could use some backup point guard help. I'm looking at guys, just to name one guy, I've always been a fan of his game, but Tyus Jones, somebody who sounds like Washington could look to move him. He's an expiring contract. If the Kings were to slot him in at the backup point guard spot next to Malik Monk, I feel like that's just a great backcourt duo there to back up De'Aaron Fox and Kevin Herter. But I think when you saw what we saw from Davion Mitchell and Keon Ellis, those are mostly defensive-first guys. They're not really distributors. Both of them never have been. And again, Keon was a guy who was asked to play point guard just because of, and in light of Davion Mitchell's struggles. So Malik Monk has really proven to be more of a guy who can go out there and get you a bucket, but also a guy that can set up that second unit. And while I think he's at his best playing off ball, especially alongside De'Aaron Fox in those late game situations, I think the fact that he is able to set up the offense and run out of pick and roll sets, which he really thrives in, there's not really any other guys on the roster, this current roster, that can do that. So, again, that's like an underrated, I guess, part of a less talked about target. I know the Kings are looking at bringing in a defensive wing, a defensive forward. But I think a backup point guard, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Monty McNair went to go look at a guy like Jones. Or, again, there's been the Caruso talks, but a backup point guard might not be the worst thing as well.
All right, Frankie, this is my last question for you. And as you're, you know, try to put this out of your mind, but I'm handing the list of, you know, possible cards you could get to Kyle, so he's going to make the final decision there. And, you know, base some of it on Frankie's answer here, and then we'll turn to Kyle for the answer on what card you get. Frankie, no pressure. Now, you got to put that out of your mind. Like, you're at the line. Now, you got to sink two free throws here. Now that Siakam is, of course, going to the Pacers, do you think the Kings turn their attention to somebody like Jeremy Grant? Is a player of that caliber still a trade possibility for the Kings?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I really do think they're going to knock on those doors. And again, the Grant possibility, there's been multiple reports I've seen that the Kings would be interested in Grant, but it's a matter of Grant or Portland. It sounds like they're not fully on board with moving Grant. So again, if that's something that they decide to pivot off of, I think he'd be a good fit on this roster. Again, the money is significant, and that's a concern, I guess, in the long run. But for a guy that can come in here and is able to knock down shots, he scored, I think, nearly 40 points when he was here with Portland a month or so ago. A guy that can play defense and defend multiple positions, 3-4 or 3-5 in small ball situations, that's the kind of guy the Kings could use. So I think that there's certainly room for the Kings to make a splashy move. I just think the rumored multiple first-round picks and multiple guys in the rotation that was on the table for Siakam, I wouldn't imagine we see something that significant, but I definitely could see a situation where if Jeremy Grant has been available, the Kings could knock on that door again. Absolutely. Please all do right. Not give me a bad card.
Now, here's the thing. Yeah, we love Frankie. We like to help him. We hold him accountable. He does a great job. He gets a great card. Last week, he got some bonus. He earned it. And I'll give you the card, whichever one Kyle decides to give you, I'll give it to you tonight, Frankie, to add to your collection. So which way are we going, Drapes, based on Frankie's performance today?
Do I need to say the options, or should
you,
I?
Just to pick the one.
Just
that
pick
that's,
one.
That's the one that I'm suggesting, but you have the final say here.
Give him the chocolate chip version, Drapes.
You know what? And Jay said give him the chocolate chip version. To me, that's a little bland, a little basic. So you get a Malcolm Brogdon card. Malcolm Brogdon.
Dang, man.
Solid player. It was a good effort.
Yeah.
You know, it was okay. But it wasn't your best.
Glue guy? Yeah.
Glue guy. Yeah. That was a glue guy response today, Frankie.
Hey, maybe a potential trade target for the Kings as well. He's
exactly.
Supposed to be available out there in Portland, so I'll take that, Drapes. I'll take that. Thank you for that choice, sir.
And you love him, right? I mean, you kind of like the idea of Brogdon on the Kings, right?
I think he'd make the Kings better. I mean, absolutely, reigning sixth man of the year, a guy that can run the point. I think he could even play late game minutes. Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Frankie. We appreciate it. I'll see you tonight, and I'll pass that along if you want to add it to your collection. Great job.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, I'll see you shortly. I'm about to head down there. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. We got Wayne Larrivee coming up bottom of the 4 o'clock hour, the play-by-play voice of the Green Bay Packers. Mark Boyle, the voice of the Pacers at 5 o'clock. And when we come right back here, one of the 49ers' top Super Bowl threats has just added a player that their coach says is a potentially very valuable weapon. Tell you all about that when we return to the Goal One Center here. It's a Drive, guys, Sacktown Sports. Congratulations to Matt Barnes and James Donaldson making their way into the Sacramento Sports Hall of Fame. James Donaldson, if I'm not mistaken, read a story about him years ago, you know, 7-foot center in the NBA, and his mom told everyone that he played guard. And he'd say, "Mom, why do you tell people I play guard?" She said, "Every time I turn the game on, you're guarding somebody."
So, Mom had no clue, huh?
So tremendous honor. Drive, guys, here at the Golden One Center. With the big game coming up Saturday, the 49ers and Kyle Draper's beloved Packers. If you take the teams that are left now, how would you rank them in terms of the threat they pose to the 49ers? Like the biggest threat of the teams just left.
Both sides.
Baltimore's number one, right?
Baltimore's
biggest
one. Biggest
threat?
Yes.
Yeah. Would you say, I agree with you, Buffalo?
I'd probably go Buffalo right now.
I would too. Yeah. Three.
I'm still going Kansas City. That's me.
Yeah. Jay, would you go KC there or would you go Detroit? Because I'm
Detroit.
Torn. All right. So it's Detroit carries today. But we're right there. And then KC. Then let's see. Then I would go five. I would go the 49ers themselves before I'd go to the Packers or Tampa Bay. You know, if something goofy happens. But Houston probably ahead of Tampa, and then Tampa Bay, Green Bay, something like that.
So you got your list there. Can I see that list?
Well, you probably can't read it. Baltimore, Buffalo, Detroit, Kansas City, 49ers. And then I put Houston, Tampa Bay, Green Bay. Yeah. Right. I mean, when you get to the bottom there, this team doesn't pose much of a threat.
Yeah.
But here's the point. The Ravens, we know they've already beaten the 49ers. They just added to their 53-man roster Dalvin Cook.
Wow. That's a big-time pickup.
Could be. Yeah. Last week, John Harbaugh said that Cook was a, quote, potentially very valuable weapon. He was added to the roster after spending 2 weeks on Baltimore's practice squad. And they had the running back that used to be the Melvin Gordon, pardon me, Melvin Gordon. So they waived him and Dalvin Cook now. So now they got Dalvin Cook, they got Gus Edwards, and Justice Hill as part of their running back rotation. And he didn't have a great year this year with the Jets, but Dalvin Cook, of course, 2019 to 2022, averaged 111 scrimmage yards per game.
Yeah, he's another weapon for them. And now you got Gus, you got Dalvin, and let's not forget Lamar Jackson, too, as a runner.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, how do you scheme for all that? Like, that's an impressive pickup this late in the game.
Yeah.
You know,
like, it's almost like, wait, what?
You're allowed to do that, right?
Right.
Like, rosters aren't frozen or anything? Like, yeah, exactly. So, no, that's and we saw what the Ravens did to the Niners earlier, and now they're just adding, getting stronger. Yeah, this is that's a big-time pickup.
Yeah, I think I'm with Jay, and I go back and forth on Baltimore and what would happen if they played the 49ers again. And, you know, you have to respect that team, that organization, that quarterback. But as Jay pointed out, you know, yeah, they won, and give them credit for that, and they won at Levi's, but the ball bounced awfully funny that game. Wow.
Is that what we're doing? Crazy bounces of the football in that game. Is that what we're really doing?
It's what really happened. It's factual.
Dude, that was a butt kicking. That was a spanking. The score was 33-19. And it wasn't even that close.
It was close at halftime, right? It was a like 4-point game, and then the ball started bouncing.
And then
funny,
just come on, man. The Ravens, they own the Niners in that game. Like, the Niners defense couldn't stop them. I mean, Lamar Jackson won the MVP in that game right there.
Yeah, I agree with that.
He won the MVP, and so
regular season, as a friend of mine likes to say, regular season. Does that matter?
So are we really just going to say, it was fluky, the ball bounced their way? No, they took it to him.
They did, but the ball did bounce their way. It was fluky. I mean, the 49ers lost that game when Brock Purdy threw that first interception. And I know he ended up throwing four.
Right.
But they were, you know, the 49ers go down and that's what they do. They score first. They get control again. They're like a python and they just wrap around you and they just squeeze the life out of you. And when he threw that interception, one of the worst throws he's had in his short but brilliant career, that tilted the game in the Ravens' favor. To their credit, they took advantage of that. But I don't
Jay,
think
do
the 49ers
agree? Was that
anything
fluky?
Yep.
Fear.
Was that fluky, Jay?
I like what I'm hearing over there, Mr.
See,
Gleason. I like where you're coming.
This is embarrassing.
What's embarrassing?
This is embarrassing. We're a legitimate sports talk station. Objective, call it like we see it kind of thing. And you guys are viewing things with red and gold glasses right now.
You know the other thing?
We're also the home of the 49ers.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That makes the 49ers borderline unbeatable. It's a fact. They have so much rest now. They got rest, and they play, what, two games if all goes well? Then they get another week of rest.
No, what makes them unbeatable is the trash NFC schedule that they're playing
that
in the
helps
playoffs.
Too. That
That's
doesn't hurt.
If they had to go through the gauntlet that Buffalo is going through, that Kansas City is going through.
But the 49ers earned that. They earned all that rest and home field.
I just don't like the bias that I'm seeing from you, hearing from you guys right now. At the time, we weren't talking about it was fluky. After that game, we were saying the Ravens came in and kicked their butt.
Even
Let's
Mike
not
Shanahan
get a revisionist
said,
history.
Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle.
Even Kyle Shanahan said, you know, the one was a bad throw. The other ones.
Well, he's sticking up for his guy. You guys making excuses for Brock Purdy now. Four interceptions. They had him rattled. He was seeing ghosts out there.
No, he was not seeing ghosts.
Casper was nowhere to be found that day on
shook.
Christmas.
Jay, he was shook out there.
Drapes, you can't admit, and I attest to what Whitey is saying. The first one, definitely. He missed it. Kyle Hamilton picked it off. It was a terrible. And I also say if he doesn't, and of course, hindsight, if ifs was fists, we all be drunk, the old saying. If he doesn't make that pick and they do score, because they were right there knocking on the door in the red zone, if they score there, the game is completely different. Will you at least give me that?
If. No, I don't, because I don't deal in ifs, man. I don't. If the Kings would have hit free throws, if Mike Brown had more timeouts, like, no, what happened, happened.
Mm-hmm.
So them balls tipped up in the air and they just.
There was a reason it was tipped up in the air.
Oh, man, come on.
But the thing is. You have to be a scientist and look at that objectively and say, okay, if they play again, yeah, the Ravens won. If they play again, it's very unlikely.
Who's the better team?
That the ball's going to be bouncing around.
Who's the better team?
49ers are the better team.
No, you don't believe that. You don't even believe that. I saw that look in your face. You don't even believe that. They played each other, and they beat the Niners in Santa Clara.
Right, and we're trying to explain to you that what happened that game, you can't really apply it to a future meeting. But they're at the top of my list. I think they're at the top of Jay's list. It's a team that pose the biggest threat.
Oh, yeah.
Are they at the top
Ravens,
of your list, Jay?
To me, the Ravens, if we're doing a power rankings, the Ravens are number one. Let's
biggest
call it
threat,
what it is.
The Niners. I mean,
no,
the Niners
I'm
are
saying
like
overall. You're trying to get me fired up. I'm not taking that bait. You guys, you can't have an honest, open discussion about the Niners, and that's what's so frustrating about
this. I know, because you're so biased against them. That's why we can't do that. We try and try and try. Speaking of, when we come back, the Packer, who is just plain wrong about Brock Purdy. We also got to talk about who is in Sacramento today, scouting out a location for a big, big move. That and more next year. The Drive Guys coming to you from the Golden One Center.